I'm with the musician Jenny Lewis in a green room at a hotel in Manhattan. She just walked in, and I need to test the microphone levels to make sure we're ready to roll.
Great.
So to do that, I ask her to talk into the mic. Just tell me what she had for breakfast.
One weed gummy. I had one weed gummy for breakfast and a nice cup of coffee.
How did it taste?
Sort of fruit punchy.
Nice and good.
I just had it, so it hasn't, you know, it hasn't done its thing yet.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes, we're pre.
So we're gonna see what happens.
Yes, it might get, wild in about 32 minutes.
Okay, great. I've been listening to Jenny Lewis for decades. I'd call her like a musical godmother or maybe a musical big sister to millennial women that are in their feelings. She was the lead singer in the early 2000s band Rilo Kiley, which was one of the only indie bands at that time to have a front woman. She was in Postal Service, a band with Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie. In 2006, she decided to try to go solo, and she's come out with 5 solo albums since. Now she's 47, and she's still doing it. She just came out with a new album, Joy All, and a single on it recently hit number 1 on the Billboard Alternative Music Charts. It's called Psychos.
Number one.
I know.
What? This song?
Are you surprised that it's this song?
Yeah. It's a merry-go-round. I don't pay attention to a lot of stats or any of that stuff because I think that gets in the way.
Creatively?
Yes, yeah. Of the muse and just following the thing. So I think having the luxury of being a little bit under the radar for so many years has allowed just for some experimentation.
Yeah, yeah.
Lyrically and otherwise. And I'm really grateful for that.
Today, we sit down with Jenny Lewis. She's going to walk us through how she writes a song and tell us what it's been like to make music for her entire adult life. This is FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos. Jenny Lewis, welcome to FT Weekend. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
I would love to just set the scene for our listeners before we start, or as we start. We are in the Roxy Hotel in a green room. You're performing tomorrow night at Pier 17 in Manhattan. You just came from New Haven, and you're in the middle of your kind of cross-country tour for this album, Joy All.
That is correct. And may I also say that this green room is not green, but white marble.
Yes.
But there's a cup full of green pencils that have yet to be sharpened, and we've both taken one.
We've taken one.
For later.
There is also a bowl full of green apples. And I might take one.
I know. I think they're here for the taking.
They are.
I hope they're not wax apples. Are they?
They're good.
Okay, no. They're real.
Jenny's sitting in front of me, and she looks as indie rock as I imagined. She's got tiny black hot pants on and a vintage Elvis t-shirt. She has white sneakers on with tube socks pulled really high with flames on them. She has these signature bangs or fringe that sort of curtain her face. And she's well known for those bangs. If you go to a hair salon in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, so many people show the hairdressers photos of Jenny Lewis that now they just call that look the Jenny. Anyway, Jenny's excited because the tour she put together is going great.
So for every tour, I have to assemble a new band and a new crew. And we all live on a bus together,
right.
12 of us.
I think people know that, but they don't really think about what that is like.
They shouldn't trouble themselves with the intricacies of, you know, trying to navigate around 12 people in the lounge to make it to the restroom.
Right.
You know, we're living, you know, men and women together. And so over the years, having been in the only woman among men on the road for the most part. And that was when I started. There were very few women out there. I have in my solo work included more and more women in my band and crew, and it has made a world of difference.
It's just a better experience.
Oh, it's just balanced.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when you're putting together a band, the best player may not be the best person for the gig because right. the hang isn't as good.
Right.
You
right.
can be a shredder.
Right. right.
But if you can't, you know, handle the trying aspects of touring, it doesn't really matter if you're like the best at your instrument. So yeah. this tour is an incredible group of people who are loving and great musicians.
It sort of makes sense that Jenny's tour is mostly women now. Her work speaks to people that are worried about the day-to-day anxieties of love and life and disappointment and grief. She has this very clear voice that's right in your ear and these very clear lyrics. She sings about wanting love. She sings about decidedly not wanting love. They're sort of hopeful and melancholic in equal measure. I play her single Psychos for her off my phone. It has this iconic lyric, "I'm not a psycho, I'm just trying to get laid." She's been trying to figure out why this song was such a hit.
Artists don't know what's good about their own material.
Yeah.
We're weird, you know?
Yeah.
It's number one because of the drums and the bass. I bet that's like 120 BPM. That's like the
like scratches an itch.
Yes.
Yes.
I've gotten a lot of people saying like, "Oh, it sounds like Lindsey Buckingham or Fleetwood Mac." That's not at all what we were going for.
Right.
But I think it's in that
it is.
Rhythm section.
A little Fleetwood Mac-y, yeah. I'm not a psycho. I'm just trying to get
laid. I'm a rock and roll disciple. Psychos actually started out as another song with a completely different melody and lyrics. Jenny didn't like it. She just liked one line. "I'm a rock and roll disciple." So she took that and she started over.
So Psychos, yeah, I had this thing. I stole it from this other song, which it's so sad. There's a graveyard of songs that the organs have been extracted from.
Right.
So I took the heart of that song. And then, yeah, I just started kind of chipping away at, you know, what would surround that idea and then kind of built it out from that lyric.
Right.
I actually did some of my vocals on this record. Mm-hmm. At my house in Nashville, I was demoing them to send to Dave Cobb, who produced the record, in the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like sitting on the bath mat because it's very quiet in the bathroom.
Yeah.
With my dog outside the door just waiting for me.
Right. Forgive my ignorance, but that was just for the demo, right? They didn't use that.
No, we used it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we used, cool. We imported the GarageBand recordings from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then recorded on top of them.
Wow.
And use some of the elements from that. Because you can't recreate that kind of vocal intimacy
right.
in a room with a bunch of people yeah. in like a fancy studio
oh,
on
wow.
Music Row.
Jenny says that she wanted to be able to access a voice that only really comes out when no one's watching. So the final album includes that sound from her bathroom, as well as what she recorded in a studio. She walked me through it.
So we use some of those elements from my home recordings on Giddy Up and Cherry Baby. And then we put a very hi-fi rhythm section and additional vocals. So it's the two worlds. You get the intimacy for a second, but then you get to go back to Nashville
right.
in Technicolor.
Oh, that's so cool. Can we listen to
oh, yes.
a second of either of those just to hear?
Yeah, pull up Giddy Up.
Okay.
And we'll go to the middle of the song.
Okay.
To the bridge. Oh, that's home recording vocal. iPhone. Bathroom. Hi-fi. Doubled vocal. Phone vocal with auto-tune on it. High pitch thing. Okay, we're getting to the bridge, which is the real intimate home recording moment on the record. Here it is, right here. When I'm all by myself, I just hurt myself. Baby, can you feel that? But when we are together, we say such sweet things to each other. Baby, I need that.
It's so intimate. Wow. Wow. I think that people really think that all of these things are like in the most professional version of the, you know, they don't.
So that is like, that's the pandemic right there.
Right.
That's just the isolation in that moment. And I think that's why I love artists like Elliott Smith, those early records, because they were just that. He's just playing everything himself. He's doubling his own vocals. He's doing his own harmonies. Right. It's just like a true bedroom slice.
Right, 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 right. One thing I love about Jenny's music is that it can sit with more than one feeling at once. That you can be happy and anxious. You can date a person who was kind of bad to you, and you were also kind of bad to them, but it wasn't bad that it happened. A song on Joy All called Puppy in a Truck famously tells you not to overthink it. Get the things that make you happy and just stay present. It's kind of zen. She's been deep in the work lately of the spiritual guru, Ram Dass. I'm curious, Jenny, like, the album is in many ways joyful, but it also feels to me a little like an album that's about, like, you know, what can you do? You know, my 40s are kicking my ass. I dated a psychopath. If you feel like giving up, just shut up and get a puppy and a truck. It'll get better. In the song Essence, you sing like the essence of life is suffering, but you also sing the essence of life is ecstasy. How does it feel to you? I feel this tension between like hope, resigned hope, joy, a little like...
In this moment, I just realized I could have named the record Oy Y'all. It's very Jewish.
Yeah.
I think it's very Ram Dass in a way, where if you listen to any of his amazing lectures, there's this emphasis on being the witness to your own experience.
Yeah.
And really allowing yourself to see all the aspects of life, which it is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is joy as well. And right. It's falling in love and it's getting your heart broken.
Right.
And this is why weed gummies help.
Yeah. How, are you feeling it?
No, not yet.
As you can hear, Jenny is pretty comfortable. She keeps jumping up and running around the green room to plug sounds that might bleed into our recording. At one point, a sink in the corner starts to gurgle.
No, I'm investigating.
Okay.
See, I'm also your tech. Look at these fluffies.
I know.
Oh.
We're good.
Shut up, sink.
Oh. What? It really is like a ghost. Okay, we've plugged the drain.
Can you tell I record music at home?
Yes. Not everyone is this comfortable with journalists, but Jenny's been in show business for a very long time. Her parents had a lounge act in Las Vegas, and they made her a child actress from when she was 3. She's been in more than a dozen films, like Troop Beverly Hills and The Wizard. She says that some parts of child acting were good for her, but a lot was hard. She talks about it in her song Rabbit Fur Coat from her first solo album.
I was of poor folk, but my mother had a rabbit fur coat than a girl of less character. She put a knife to her throat.
Did you feel a pressure as a kid? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of, being a child actor is hard on kids. Did you like it? How did you feel when you were a kid?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
If you're a parent, I think it's too much for a kid to have the financial responsibility, which in my family, that's what it became.
Right.
So there was this, I didn't really have a choice. Although I made my choices a little bit creatively,
right,
within like the structure of like, oh, you're the one that works in this family and I'm going to go with you to the set sometimes,
mm-hmm,
but sometimes I'm not.
Right.
So I would just be among all of these creatives who were amazing.
Mm.
And they really became my family in a way,
right,
on these, in these little bursts. So it was actually a very positive thing for me, but it was, there was a lot of responsibility. And then it's hard to grow up on camera and go through all the awkwardness of your teen years,
yeah,
and all the stuff. And sometimes it's not, you know, they don't want to hire you.
Right.
You don't get the job.
Right.
So what are you going to do then?
Right.
If like, you're, who's going to pay the mortgage?
And you're a kid.
And you're 8,
right,
10, 12, 15.
Right.
And when I was 17, I was like, this is bogus.
Yeah.
This is cool, but it's also, no, I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm. So Jenny switched to music. And a few years later, she formed the band Rilo Kiley. You might know them from their hits Portions for Foxes and With Arms Outstretched.
Without the band, I don't know if I would have had the courage to go out and do music on my own, mm-hmm, as a solo performer, a woman,
mm-hmm,
in 1999.
Yeah.
There's just no way. I mean, even dealing with, you know, sound guys at clubs, mm-hmm, around the world, you know, who, when you're a woman and you have a guitar, they don't assume you know what you're doing.
Right.
Although you got yourself there and booked the show.
Right. Yeah. I've heard you described as like the den mother of millennial emo girls, or kind of an older sister. Do you feel kind of like, ugh?
Old? Yes.
Or do you like that interpretation?
Oh, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Yeah. When you're at the age where you should mentor someone,
mm,
you're like, no, I'm the mentee.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not the mentor.
Yeah.
Because it just happens. So, you know, you're just doing your thing. And then suddenly, you know, it's like.
Right. You're deemed like a musical godmother. Does it feel, you know, you're writing about being in your 40s. Does it feel like you're aging in public? How does it feel to, it's a weird question to ask, but I'm curious, like.
Who cares about aging? I'm 47. I feel very young.
Yeah.
40s are good because you're kind of in the middle of all of the things.
Yeah.
So you can look back, you can look forward.
Yeah.
And you still feel like, you know, when I look at pictures of Bob Dylan in, mm-hmm, his 40s, you're like, oh, cool. And it's important to speak to your generation and, right, not ignore.
Right.
And not try to cater to, you know, 3 generations later.
Right. Jenny, it's so funny. Like your music has such, your songs have such clarity to them and they're so personal. And so it makes me want to ask you personal questions, but also I know that I just met you and that's not my business. And I have this big recorder in front of your face. And I'm curious, like, I know you've been doing this for a long time, but how do you stay honest, like in your music, knowing that people like me gonna go and ask you like how's your sex life and what is it like, you know, like, I don't know, are your 40s really kicking your ass? Or,
well, ask away.
Thank you for the permission.
And I can answer, and you know, this is when creative answers come into play.
Yes. Yeah.
Are my 40s kicking my ass? Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've all gotten our asses kicked collectively over the last like 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So if they weren't, that would be weird.
Yeah.
But I feel generally optimistic. which is good. And I think naming my album Joy All is bringing some of that.
Right, right.
So despite having my ass kicked, I still think there's like good stuff out there.
Yeah.
There's a question mark.
Having your ass kicked is not all bad.
It's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
Everyone gets their ass kicked.
Yeah. My 30s are kicking my ass.
My 30s also kicked my ass.
By this point, it's been an hour and a half. Jenny is taking her one night off in New York to go to her favorite restaurant in the East Village. The next day, I'll see her on stage performing to thousands of her fans. But before she goes, I want to know one more thing.
Jenny, my last question for you is, when do you feel the most creatively fulfilled?
Finishing a song. Mm-hmm. That first day is the best. And then the moment when your record is completed, mm-hmm, and no one's heard it yet.
Right. Oh, wow.
And it's yours.
Yeah.
And before it goes out into the ether.
Do you remember that day for this album?
Yeah. And I posted a little bit before it came out because I wanted to just get that feeling down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's magic. And then you put stuff out and then there's critique. It's right. The nature of art. So remembering those pure moments where if you're happy with the work, then you know, that's the goal.
Right, right. Jenny, this was a real honor. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. What a wonderful conversation.
Thanks.
So good.
I wrote a profile based on this conversation for the FT Weekend magazine. The link is in the show notes. That's the show this week. Thank you for listening to FT Weekend, the Life and Arts podcast of the Financial Times. As you know, every link in the show notes will get you past the paywall on FT.com. But if you want to explore more on the site, we have really great trial and subscription offers for you at FT.com/weekendpodcast. Make sure to use that link. We're also getting ready for this fall's FT Weekend Festival, which is on Saturday, September 2nd in Kenwood House in London. I will be there alongside a bunch of great guests, a ton of colleagues you've heard on the show. We have links to a special discount for that for you too, £20 off, also in the show notes. As you know, we love chatting with you. The show is on Twitter at FT Weekend Pod, and I am on Instagram and Twitter, but mostly with you on Instagram, at Lila Rapp. I am Lila Raptopoulos, and here is my talented team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Molly Nugent is our contributing producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Javinko, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer. Monique Malima is our intern. And our global head of audio is Cheryl Brumley. Have the best weekend, and we'll find each other again next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.